Good morning. It is March already, March 2nd, 2021. We will call to order the Story County Board of Supervisors. With that, if you are able, please join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Due to the ongoing pandemic, we are continuing to limit the number of people in our public meeting room as allowed per section 21.8.1 and also providing public access via Zoom. With that, is there a motion to approve today's agenda?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Merkin?
Aye.
Faithfull?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Next, it's time for public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Is there anyone who has anything to say for public comment? If so, please raise your hand via Zoom or press star nine. I don't want to say star six. I think it's on my phone. See anything, ma'am? Seeing none, we will close public comment at this time. Next, we will go on and we have a proclamation acknowledging March 8th as International Women's Day for 2021. And I'm going to ask my colleagues if they would join me in reading parts of the proclamation. And I believe Supervisor Murphy, we have you to start.
Whereas International Women's Day has occurred for well over a century with the first gathering held in 1911. And whereas today, International Women's Day belongs to all groups collectively everywhere, International Women's Day is not a country group or organization specific. And whereas International Women's Day is a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women, today also marks a call to action for accelerating gender parity. Significant activity is witnessed worldwide as groups come together to celebrate women's achievements and rally for women's equality. And
whereas marked annually on March 8th, International Women's Day is one of the most important days of the year to celebrate women's achievements, raise awareness about women's equality, lobby for accelerated gender parity, fundraise for female-focused charities, and whereas the campaign theme for International Women's Day 2021 is Choose to Challenge. A challenging world is an alert world, and from challenge comes change. And
now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the Story County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim March 8th, 2021, as International Women's Day 2021, and commit to choose to change. Choose to challenge. Thanks for that correction. Congratulations to all those who brought this before us and our support for International Women's Day for 2021.
I move adoption of the proclamation.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Merkin?
Aye.
Faithfull?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Next, we'll move on. We have no agency reports at this time. Consideration of minutes. Is there a motion to approve the February 23rd, 2021 minutes?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Faithfull, seconded by Merkin. Faithfull?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Next, we have consideration of personnel actions. Is there a motion to approve the personnel actions as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Merkin, seconded by Faithfull. Merkin?
Aye.
Faithfull?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Next is consideration of claims. Is there a motion to approve the March 4th, 2021 claim?
So moved.
Second.
Then moved by Faithfull, seconded by Merkin. Faithfull?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Consent agenda. Don't believe there's anything being removed from the consent or pulled from the consent agenda. With that, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Merkin and seconded by Faithfull. Merkin?
Aye.
Faithfull?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Next, public hearing. hearing. We have no public hearing items. Next, we have additional items. The first additional item is the Memorandum of Understanding with the City of Ames. This is a memorandum that was brought in discussion with the City of Ames taking over the payroll for the City Assessor's Office. They need a transition time for this to begin by January 1 of 2022. I know the city is having it on this on their agenda either tonight or next week. They're going to do early March. They were going to be putting the same thing on the agenda. And I did have our county attorney review this as well, and the city attorney looked it over. Any questions?
I have no question, but I think the auditor's office is the most directly affected. So I'll ask Auditor Martin if she has any concerns about the memorandum.
Nope, we're all in favor of it.
Okay, great.
All right, with that, is there a motion to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between the City of Ames and the Story County, Iowa regarding the Ames City Assessor?
So moved. Second.
Been moved by Faisal, seconded by Merkin. Faisal?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Okay, next is the discussion and consideration of removing the hiring freeze. Alyssa Lignall.
Good morning, Board.
Good morning.
It was asked at one of our meetings last week if the board would consider removing the hiring freeze exemption or hiring freeze that we have currently had in place since last April due to COVID. So what I used as the attachment is just our current policy that kind of lays out, you know, everything. And then I just wanted the board to have a discussion. Do you want to continue with the hiring freeze? And is this something you're willing to remove at this point? If things change, it could be brought back and implemented at a later time too, if necessary. So I just wanted to have some open dialogue with the board on where your thoughts are.
I think I was the person that initially suggested, I mean, first having a hiring freeze when we went into the pandemic, and I was concerned because we really had no idea what was going to happen to our revenues. And I think it's a good time to look at this since we've just gone through next year's budget and looked at revenues pretty closely. And I think it still is, I think it would be reasonable to inactivate it. So to
speak. Inactivate it, okay.
I would agree. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, departments still have to come forward with a request as it is. So
for a new position.
Yeah. Now they would be able to just go ahead and work with HR to get those. If there's no hiring freeze, it would just be normal. They advertise the actual formal hiring would come through the board as it always has on consent.
Yeah, so. I have no problem looking at it at this particular time. I agree. I think we really were trying to be tight and really be mindful early on during the pandemic and seeing where we're at right now. And I think everybody really rose to the kind of the occasion and stuff to make sure that we were, just because we didn't know how everything was going to be.
So I agree. And I think if we just keep an eye on everything, I know the auditor's office, they keep a pretty close eye on revenues and would let the board know if anything changes. And then we could come back to the board and ask for your consideration again, if needed.
Sure. So probably the motion should just be to remove it rather than deactivate it.
I would remove it with effective immediately or whatever the board.
We do have three to deal with today, and I think since they're on the agenda, we should deal with them. So what if we, I would make a move to remove the hiring freeze effectively March 3rd, 2021.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to remove the hiring freeze to March 3rd, 2021.
Effective March 3rd.
Yep. Okay. Merkin?
Aye.
Faisal?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye.
Thank you. And I'll send something out just to departments after the meeting saying effective tomorrow, there is no hiring freeze. in place.
Great.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. All right. Next, we have discussion and consideration of the hiring freeze exemption request from the treasurer's office for the universal clerk. That would be Ted Rasmussen. Ted online.
I have a feeling the next three motions will be pretty straightforward. Since it's gone tomorrow anyway, I just didn't feel like we could.
Ted to raise his hand if he's on the cell phone.
Ted, if you're on the cell phone, can you raise your hand or unmute yourself?
So do you know what extension is? It's none of those.
Do you want me to handle it?
You can handle it.
Okay, we'll just go through it if he hops on and wants to add anything. So they did have a resignation within their office. The last couple weeks, and the treasurer would like to fill that universal clerk position. They're coming into the end of March is busy. I mean, I know they can't have anybody hired and fully on board by the end of March, but they would like to get that process started so they can get that individual trained and move forward with that.
Okay. All right, any discussion? All right, is there a motion to approve the hiring freeze and exemption request for the treasurer's office for the universal clerk?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Faisal, seconded by Merkin. Faisal?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Okay, next we have discussion and consideration of a hiring freeze exemption request for the attorney's office, legal executive officer position.
Good morning.
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 So this is to fill a recent resignation from the position of office manager, basically. So this is a position that I really can't do without. They supervise support staff, help me manage the attorney staff, and they work on all the administrative functions in the office, budget, activities, training, all sorts of activities. So I really need this position filled.
Is there any discussion? Is there a motion to approve the hiring freeze exemption request for the attorney's office legal executive officer position?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Merkin?
Aye.
Faisal?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye.
Thank you, board.
Thank you. Next, we have the consideration of hiring freeze exemption request for facilities management maintenance technician position.
Good morning, board. This is Joby. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Good morning, Joby.
Morning.
Morning. This is one of our maintenance techs positions. It's being vacated by a staff member who is retiring. So it's kind of it's a good thing that he's getting to retire. You know, we're going to miss him, but we need to fill this position because our maintenance techs are very crucial to our operations on many different levels.
All right, is there any questions for Joby? All right, is there a motion to approve the hiring freeze exemption request for facilities management maintenance technician position?
So moved. Second.
Been moved by Faisal, seconded by Merkin. Faisal?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye.
Thank you.
Yep. Now it looks like we're on to discussion and consideration of the revised temporary employment practices and policies in response to the coronavirus.
Okay, so last week the board did take action to extend the 80 hours of COVID leave. So I did ask to take this back, kind of revise it, come back with a clean copy for the board to consider this week. excuse me, just a couple of things to note. On page 2, the symptoms, we did update that with all the symptoms, the current symptoms of COVID. just so that it did have the correct information in our policy. Page 4 reflects the COVID, 80 hours of COVID leave. So I removed all of the FFCRA information, the 2/3 pay for emergency FMLA, and just laid out, you know, we have the same reasons for the COVID leave they can use that they have been able to use in the past. So those still all qualify. And then if somebody's out of their 80 hours for themselves, they can still use the sick leave to quarantine for if it's the employee. So that's noted there. On page 5, we just updated the international travel recommendations by the CDC. Those could change any day. So we just kind of made it broad so that we just refer to those. And then we did add just to follow all state and local recommendations or requirements after travel, just in case something gets put into place in the next month or so.
Sure.
That is it. And this is revision number 7 on this policy in the last year. So I did note that we originally adopted it March 20th of 2020. So it's been almost a year. A lot has changed in the year. So,
yeah. All right. Any questions for Alyssa? No.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your work. So is there a motion to approve the revised temporary employment practices and policies in response to the COVID-19 pandemic?
So moved.
Second. Been moved by Merkin, second by Faisal. Merkin?
Aye.
Faisal?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye.
Thank you for revising it.
Yeah.
Good to see a final copy.
Yeah, thank you. Next, we have discussion and consideration of Resolution 21-70, supporting Story County's RISE grant application. Good morning, Darren.
Morning. What we have here is a resolution which is a requirement of the RISE grant application process. So this will be a part of the application. Our goal is right now to meet the April DOT commission meeting for our application, and the application is due 1 month before the meeting. So we're putting everything together, hopefully to get that submitted this week. So this would be the last step as far as the board's concerned. I will bring the application when we get it completed back to the board, or the board chair at least, by the end of the week, hopefully, and have them sign off on it. But this resolution will give you the authority to do that. A couple things to point out on the resolution. It mentions 48 jobs will be created. That is down a bit from what we talked about a week or two ago. It was originally 56, and that's now 48 is what Verbio is committing to. You're also committing, the Story County portion is committing the non-RISE funding an amount that exceeds 20%. That's just a requirement of the application. So you're committing to funds by this, but you still have an out if we decide not to do the project, as long as we don't let the project. The letting is what kind of dictates if we're going to do it or not. We can decide not to do it and just not let the project at a future date if we want to back out of this. And then lastly, on the last sentences, Story County will maintain this mile of roadway. We're required to put who maintains the roadway in the application. It will be somewhat shared with Nevada, but tried for over 20 years to come up with a 2080 maintenance agreement with the city of Nevada, and we've been unsuccessful. We're still going to work on that, but at this point, we'll just put Story County as maintenance on the mile just for the application purposes. I think that's about it. Any other questions?
Board, any questions?
Can you remind me what the current numbers are we're looking at for Story County and the City of Nevada committing?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? My mic just went off.
Okay. It says, what are Story County and the City of Nevada, what amounts are we currently looking at being committed by the two partners there?
Okay.
We do have John Hall that is in our meeting room as well.
Sure. currently I'm showing Story County is 618,000 and City of Nevada at 171,000. And that's assuming we get the full rise request of 560,000.
And then if there's something that comes up beyond our control before letting this that makes it not wise for us to continue the project or not economically feasible, we can decline the grant, correct? That's what you said?
Correct. Our schedule is to let this about a year from now. So we have about a year to decide if we're actually going to let it or not. So yeah, we have time to back out before the letting.
Thank you.
John, did you want to add something?
Yeah, if I might, good morning, board. I did have Jennifer with IDOT run the 48 job count number, and she estimated that the grant would be awarded somewhere between 480,000 and 576,000. So that's kind of the range that we're looking at on the RISE grant itself. And then the City of Nevada did at their most recent city council meeting pass a similar resolution to this, as well as committing to their portion, the 0.22% of the project costs, the minimum 20%.
Can any of you state the range again, please?
Yes, 480,000 to 576,000.
You said Nevada committed to 22%?
22% of the project, correct.
22
or 2.2? 22, sorry, 0.22. That's how much of the mile they control is 0.22, 22%.
What was the reason for the decrease in estimated number of jobs again?
So there was no decrease in the overall estimated number of jobs. At the end of the day, they're creating the exact same number of jobs they anticipated. When we started this project, they had not hired all of their jobs for their phase one. And we thought we'd be able to take advantage of those since we hadn't had a rise for that phase one, but the DOT said we couldn't use those jobs too. So we were trying to count some of those that hadn't yet been created, but were on their way, and the DOT would not allow that to move through, so.
Thank you. All right, any other questions? All right, is there a motion to approve resolution 21-70 supporting the Story County's RISE grant application for Brio Nevada LLC project improvement?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved by Faisal, seconded by Merkin. Faisal?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye.
Thank you, board. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Darren and John. We have discussion and consideration of resolution 21-63, the Hunziker Development Group LLC voluntary annexation petition. Amelia, good morning.
Good morning, board. This is an annexation request for one piece of property, and I will share my screen so we can look at the map. Just north of Ames. Can you all see my screen?
Yes.
Great. So the crosshatched area is 4514 Hyde Avenue, and that is the one property that is proposed to be voluntarily annexed. It's under the ownership of Hunziker, and they also own land to the west in this area. I'm hoping you can see my mouse moving over the map too. but it's labeled as Inside Ames, just to the west, and they'll be doing a development in that area in the near future and need the Hyde, the 4514 Hyde site for additional stormwater management room. And there may be an additional house built on the property in the future, but at this point, it's really just planned for detention practices to support the development to the west. I'm happy to take any questions. We have written the resolution to support the annexation, and I believe the applicant is on the phone as well if there are any questions for Hunziker.
More questions at this time? All
Although it's not really related to this, we're talking about the development. I noted that the city has not made a decision on 190th and Hyde Avenue yet. Do you have any more information on that, Lynn?
I don't. I think I listened to the audio of the Planning and Zoning Commission for the City of Ames that considered this annexation request. And they asked staff about, you know, the plans for traffic control in the area. You know, they've heard similar concerns that we have about traffic on Hyde. And city staff at that meeting mentioned that it would be under the MPO's consideration, any traffic control on 190th and Hyde Avenue, but that the city, inside the city, had planned a traffic light at Bloomington and Hyde Avenue inside the city to the south.
Thank you.
And you said, Amelia, just so I'm clear, that this is more for a retention pond, is that what you're...
Yep. So this area is designated as a conservation design subdivision area because of its proximity to Ada Hayden. And so I believe, you know, Ames has its own stormwater management requirements, but I believe there are additional you know, stormwater management requirements and open space requirements on this subdivision. And I think needing additional space may be related to those. The plan is just to have a detention pond on this property to support the development to the west. Yes.
Is there going to be a culvert nearby?
I would defer to the applicant on that. They have not submitted the plans for the development to the west yet, and those plans would include the culverts and the stormwater designs. So those would be reviewed by the City of Ames as engineer at that point.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, is there a motion to approve resolution 21? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that. I'm sorry, yes. Yes, looks like Angela Powers would like to speak. My apologies.
Hi. Hello. I think my question was answered already. So it was just how the project would impact the park.
Amelia, and I'm happy just to provide some more information on that. Sorry, I moved my screen. So again, you know, this annexation would essentially allow for the detention pond to be developed under the City of Ames standards concurrently with that subdivision to the west, which I think is important so that Ames can review the designs for the detention pond as it relates to the development to the west, if that helps.
I believe Jim Patton had a question.
Yeah, my question is, as I look at the map, it appears this property is not within the city boundaries. So how much control does the city have, or does anyone have, over the shape and size of this retention pond? And my concern particularly is accented because of the topography of this property, which really is not going to facilitate a very large area for retention pond unless there was a significant amount of earth moving taking place, all of that threatening the lake.
A good question. Again, you're right, this property is not located within the city boundaries. And so that's why it's being proposed to be annexed, so that this pond may be developed under the city standards, including those for erosion control during construction, which would cover, you know, the perimeter controls or other controls for grading work to make sure that there wasn't erosion or sedimentation that would impact properties downslope.
Can I add something to that, Jim? The reality is that the property to the west of Hyde has already been annexed by the city. So if this is going to be their solution in terms of protecting Ada Hayden and making sure that the, you know, to protect that from stormwater, I think it makes sense for the whole thing to be under City of Ames regulations. You know, the city, this doesn't bind the city to approve what the developer suggests there. I think that might be an important thing to look at. Is this just allows the city to exercise its authority in the design? Does that make sense?
Supervisor Merkin, I think that's that was, yes, that makes sense to me. That's correct. You know, we don't want any irregularities created if a detention pond were to be created to serve the development to the west, but wasn't annexed into the city. You know, I don't want any irregularities in whose regulations would apply, or I think this would just create not only more uniform boundaries for the city, but clearer jurisdictional requirements in terms of whose regulations apply and allowing the city to review those plans.
And Amelia, I'm assuming there's protections for like fertilizer runoff also, right?
You know, I think that would be part of the development to the west, the plans for the development to the west, if those were included in the restrictive covenants, and the City of Ames might already have those restrictions as part of its conservation design guidelines. I'm not too familiar with their conservation design guidelines, but that might be already part of their regulations.
Are there any other questions or anyone have, Leanne, that you're seeing? Since we're not seeing anyone else who has any additional questions at this particular time, I'll ask if there is a motion to approve Resolution 21-63, the Hunziker Development Group LLC Voluntary Annexation Petition.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved by Merkin, seconded by Faisal. Merkin?
Aye.
Faisal?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye. Motion approved. Next up, thank you, Amelia. Next up, we have departmental reports from facilities management.
Good morning, board. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. This is my quarterly report. Most of the top portion of what you received is pretty standard. Go through of kind of what we do for work orders on a daily basis and kind of the overall tally. New number that showed up this quarter is got some snow days, 31 of them to be exact. So it was pretty busy with snow. We've got a few big ones, but nothing we're not used to doing. Then we had some big things happen starting in January. About mid-January, we had a contractor hit main supply and return lines that feed all our geothermal heating and cooling equipment. The repair has been done. Last week, we did the major flush of the building and got as much debris out of it as we could. I'm going to call it. It was very successful. We've got all equipment back online. We got that going evening on last Thursday. We're still tying up some loose ends. Anytime you open up a piping system of that size, you introduce air into it. So it takes time to get all that air purged out. We do have a couple of low-lying areas in the piping system that are in the building. primarily in the sheriff's office area that are, you know, they only serve a handful of pieces of equipment. They're small size pipes. We are still getting a very small amount of fine sand, but we have installed additional filters throughout the facility to catch that and then get it out of the system. So I'm confident within probably the next 3 weeks, the whole system will be free of any debris. The new deionized water and glycol helps the heat transfer with the system and keep it from freezing is in. So we do have a few equipment repairs that we will perform probably in the next month, month and a half. Those are due to the main circulating pumps. We've discussed this at other meetings. We're just making sure that the system is performing as it should before we schedule another repair on it. The pumps aren't damaged to the point where they aren't able to perform their duties, but they were damaged. So we can operate with them as they are now. And then as we're comfortable with the rest of the system being up to snuff, so to speak, then we will begin the rebuild of those pumps. And then during this well field project that it's had, all of our maintenance tech staff have been at that building primarily every day since the 13th of January. Starting today, we started to pull some of them off and get them back onto doing our normal day-to-day stuff and trying to get caught up. But we also had a sprinkler head that decided to leak at the Human Services Center that flooded a large area of that building. All that water has been cleaned up. We got things dried out to an acceptable level. There are some sheetrock in multiple areas that is needing to be replaced, and that started this morning. And then working with the ICAP and an insurance adjuster, getting a cost put together to see what the total overall cost to remedy all the water damage will be. And then I will be back in front of the board to discuss what we move forward with, because we are all the carpet on the second floor in like the multi-purpose room area, conference room east, where the DCAT offices and fines recovery was a complete loss. We did, however, so we don't have any biological issues with that carpet, we did disinfect and sanitize all the carpets that got wet so that we don't create any other problems down the road. But eventually that carpet on second floor will need to be replaced. And we are working on getting estimates for that, getting that information to ICAP so that they can come up with a full report. Included in that is all staff hours that have been involved in dealing with the flooding. So it's on its way. We sustained most of the damage was ceiling tile and the flooring. And then the sheetrock damage was minimal when you compare it to the flooring and ceiling tile. Last little update is the stair tower treads at the administration building. They've been in place for about a year and a half, pushing on 2 years, but determined that there was a manufacturer's defect in the treads, and that is why they were not sticking to the stairs themselves. Well, manufacturer is the one that took responsibility for it and has paid to have all of them replaced again, and they finished that up yesterday afternoon. So all three stair towers have now had all the stair treads removed, the old adhesive removed, proper adhesive used, and the new stair treads that should not have the same defect as before. Basically what it come down to is they use a release agent when they make those stair treads so that they peel away from the mold, the injection mold. Well, a big batch of that, I guess They used too much of the release agent, so there wasn't an adhesive on the planet that would stick to it. So that has been remedied at the factory, and these should stick to the stairs.
Okay.
Outside of those major items, if there's any questions.
Eric, any questions?
I just wanted to say, Joby, I really appreciate your technical expertise you bring to this job. It seems like it's really been challenged on some of these recent incidents. And I also wanted to say just one thing, and this is just for the record. It's a real picky. Your report says December 2, 2020 to March 24, 2021. I assume it's supposed to be through February 24.
Yeah, that would be correct. I didn't even catch that. Good catch. Yes, it should be February 24th.
Just in case somebody goes back to the report later, maybe it'd be good to get that one corrected and resubmitted.
Yes, thank you, Linda. Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
I'm surprised I did.
Yeah.
It's been a little busy, so...
Yeah. I saw that too, didn't know if it meant to be February 24th or if it had an extra, a four in it. It was supposed to be March to March 2nd, so it was not clear on it. Joby, I just have one question for you, and that's in regards to the sprinkler system over at the HCS building. So did we ever figure out, was it a flow issue? Is that why the alarm didn't go?
Yes, basically what it amounts to is when those sprinkler systems are designed, you know, they're designed with the understanding and intention that if a sprinkler head goes off, it is set off because of a fire reason. And this was a slow leak. So the flow rate wasn't at the level that the sprinkler system is designed. Is this something that we can prevent in the future? And then it come down to, you know, and then a lot of it was, is the why did this one do what it did? And every person I could talk to, and I talked with people who had over 30 years in the industry, and they're like, I've never seen this happen before. So I don't know if we just got this weird black cloud over us right now that it fit into that category, but we are looking at ways to, whether it's a more sensitive flow switch that we can use or some sort of water sensing system to where if, because this one happened sometime after facility staff left on a Friday at midnight until it was discovered the next Monday morning. So we're determining that sometime on Saturday is when the leak started. But since it was at such a small rate of flow, we weren't alerted in any way until somebody physically seen the wet floor. So I'm looking at ways to avoid that in the future, and then still working with three different sprinkler contractors on why this one did it, if it was just bad luck. And then we are looking at doing a testing of the remainder, pulling percentage of the sprinkler heads that are still in service and having them tested, because the Underwriters Laboratory will do that at a cost, and then make the decision if we need to think about replacing all the sprinkler heads in the building, because there was nothing I could find pointed at any type of known defect with this particular model and brand of sprinkler head. And it's not like it's a very popular one and is used in many facilities throughout the entire nation. So I'm not finding any information to point towards any kind of defect that anybody's is aware of.
Okay. Is it possible to put an alarm system on the water meter itself?
See, Latifa, the sprinkler systems, when they're supplied by the city water supply, but they are an unmetered system. So we would have to, but it's a good point to bring up because we've discussed, do we add one that when it shows that it is moving water into the system, whether it's just something simply that it sends a notice out, but their current design, they are an unmetered water supply. Since it's a fire suppression system, that it only goes off, supposed to only go activate in a fire situation.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thanks for your report, Joby. Yes. Any additional
You're questions? Welcome.
No. All right. Thank you. Have a good rest of the day.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you. We have no other reports, upcoming agenda items. Any at this particular time? Okay. Next is public forum number two, comments from the public on publics and the public on items not on this agenda. Board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but may do so in the future. This time I will open up for public comment. Either unmute yourself using star 9 or raise your hand and we will call on you. Not seeing anyone moving for public comment at this time, we'll close the public forum number two. Liaison assignments, committee meetings, updates, and announcements from supervisors.
I just looked at my calendar and we've got a lot of the ISAC conference virtually coming up this week, several Zoom sessions. So it's gonna be a Zoom week. That's all I have. Oh, we're also still working on the broadband study and our Story County reps are meeting tomorrow and talking about how we're going to get information out about the survey that's going to be part of the broadband study. We've got a lot of ideas. We're just trying to hone in on a specific plan for that.
So the new officer training Thursday morning, I'm going to be on Page OI to talk about the housing study. And then I've got an alternatives post-arrest program team meeting. We've got a department recognition on Thursday also. And then Monday, I've got Opioid Task Force, Story County College Access Network strategic planning meeting. I've got an E911 public hearing on my calendar.
Right, that's right. Thank you.
And then I have Boost in the evening. And then it looks like Tuesday morning, the canvas and votes before our board meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have, like you, the ISAC meetings this week and into next week. And I think there's some later in the month as well. So it's kind of spread throughout the month since we are meeting virtually versus in person. We have a couple of recognitions coming up as well as I have a workforce development meeting on Friday and then another one on Monday. Tuesday, then I also have, and I could announce this on Tuesday as well, I have that community health collaborative meeting in the afternoon after our board meeting. So that's the information that I have at this particular time. Oh, and I think, oh, and next week we have the Story Assessors Board meeting as well. So that is next week. With that, our next topic is to per code section 21.5i. We're going to go into closed session. So at this time, we will move into closed session. Sorry. Merkin?
Aye.
Faisal?
Aye.
Heddens? Aye.
I need to go to my office.
Yep. Okay, we'll reconvene. Oh, please, I'll wait for Lucy. Okay, we're reconvening back in open session. Is there consideration of the Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources Annual Performance Review?
I think we just need a motion for the chair to complete the performance review.
Okay.
That's discussed in closed session. Is anybody gonna, I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Merkin?
Aye.
Basil? Aye. Seddon? Aye. Is there anything else to come before the board?
I don't know if this is necessary, but I have in here to make a motion about my weekly salary. I don't know if that's just a full level from last time.
I don't know how you handled that with merit last time. Did you make a motion here or was it on the next agenda?
Shelley just set this up. That's why I'm bringing it up, because that it happened, and I think the last time we did this.
The action part would be on next Tuesday's agenda. So if you want to make the chair make a recommendation,
yeah, you can do that. That's fine.
Why don't we do that? With that, is there a motion to adjourn? I just want to make sure that's where we're at.
Yep.
Okay.
So motion. Second.
That moved in second. Basil?
Aye.
Merkin?
Aye.
Seddon? Aye. We are adjourned.
And I'll do chess.